This is a Gorilla Podcast Network production.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's the Backyard Nightly Show.
Backyard Maker Show. Maker Show.
We speak that real.
Peace, interweblians, beautiful people. Welcome back to the Backyard Mecca Show, backyardmeccashow.com on the all-new Gorilla Podcast Network. We are back for our first show of the year. Well, actually, you know, we recorded a show before the new year, but we dropped it for the year. But no, you're the first recorded show. So, but welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Happy New Year. I hope everybody is well. Hope everybody's holidays were great. But we're back, man. We're back with a new show. We got a special guest in the building. As a matter of fact, man, let me just introduce you now so we can get into everything, man. We got my brother Louis Alien, and your last name is
Espinosa.
welcome, yo, bro. Thank you for being here, man.
My pleasure.
It's an honor to have you up here. It's been a long time coming, man.
It's not just you doing the introduction. I'm like, oh, I've heard that.
Is that nice or not?
You did it good. First take. You know, it's like
it works.
It worked. It worked good. I'm impressed.
So, man, first, you know, what I usually do, man, like I said, we talk a little bit of bullshit, current events, and then we get into the guests. So, yeah, to our interweblians, I don't know if you know what the interweblians are, but my fans, I call them, and supporters, interweblians, which okay. is internet, website, aliens, so that's my own little species I created. Holler! And, you know, you're into the whole alien
yes.
thing, too, so.
That's my name.
Cool little fit there. But man, listen, man, I just wanted to kind of get into some things, man. See your perspective on things and your opinions on things. Right now in the hip-hop industry, well, hip-hop R&B industry, we got the whole R. Kelly thing going on, man. Have you seen
No? I've been really off social media more than ever.
Okay.
When it comes to news and Bull Twinkie, you know, that bull talk, that
yeah.
even though it's stuff that I should probably be up to date on.
Okay.
But I'm just trying not to feed a lot of that to my brain at this time.
Understandable. You know? So. Yeah, some of it is nonsense, man. It's dead weight. So I get it. But yeah, so I mean, have you heard about it though?
Very little.
Okay. Well, you know what? It's a catch-22 for me, man, because it's things that we knew already from 30 years ago that have resurfaced in a docuseries on Lifetime.
Okay. Does it have to do with Golden Showers?
That and more.
Okay.
So basically, they're getting into detail with the people that we already knew about. Plus, I think some others have come forward, which is great for them to get their story out there and things like that. So, you know, the whole thing is I'm reading the threads. I'm always online. I'm reading the threads and people are like, yo, but we knew about this 30 years ago, blah, blah. Why are they doing this again? Da, da, da. And then, you know, you have the whole Me Too movement type of thing, which is cool too. And, you know, they're trying to help people and come out. So I don't know. I'm kind of stuck in the middle with it because it's like, all right, the brother got crucified 30 years ago. We're crucifying him again, which I have no sympathy for him. And, you know, still, it's kind of weird to say I was always a fan of his. Mm-hmm. It's kind of weirder now, though, with the music, with everything you know and stuff. But still, like, it's like, all right, I don't know. I just being that you don't know much about it, I guess I can't get too into it.
When the story started to come up, I was a lot younger.
Yeah, yeah.
And just like even then, I tried my best to avoid a lot of the stuff that I seen stress other people out or, mm-hmm. you know, bring tension.
Yeah.
So I kind of just always tried.
Yeah, so it's a little weird, but my whole thing is like, you know, like I said, I guess the whole Me Too movement has sparked a lot of this stuff and gotten a lot of things, people to talk about this stuff, which is great because people that have been abused throughout the years
right.
are coming out and stuff. But yeah, the whole R. Kelly thing, like I said, it happened 30 years ago, and now they're redoing it again with the docuseries. And, you know, now he actually has charges going against them because they're looking into all the new stuff being said in the documentary. So, you know, we all know he's a sicko and stuff. It's just that I don't know. It seems to be a trend lately too, though. I respect the Me Too movement, but then you got everybody who, you know, back then when they were trying to for me, I feel, get into the whole limelight of things. They weren't worried about none of that stuff until maybe they got denied, you know. Mm. That's just how shit is, you know.
Maybe they feel like there's unfinished business that they still...
Yeah, yeah. And there's obviously there's also scorned women and just people that have been affected. So that's right. What I'm saying. It's in the air. It's a catch 22. But we'll move on since you know, you haven't really dug into it like that. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the wall, bro. The wall with your boy Trump. How about that? Have you been that disconnected that you haven't really?
Not too disconnected. That's a tough one to be disconnected from.
Yeah.
But even with that, I've just, you know, I guess I'm climbing over my own wall. So it's like when I hear about all these stresses, it's
yeah. But did Mexico fund your wall, or did you fund it?
Puerto Rico's funding the wall.
Oh, you see, that was a joke. I'm sorry. Don't worry. I'm gonna put the laughing. What you call? I don't have my soundboard right now, but I'll plug that in there.
Yeah, I don't know much about it. Again, it's been a very very different year for me. So I've been.
Did you hear about the government shutdown because of that?
Very little. Too.
So he basically shut down the government.
So what does that do exactly?
Because they're not funding his wall. What does it do? It makes us look like idiots to the whole world. That's what it does.
Gotcha. See, I'm learning more right now than I have. I mean,
but no, there's people. There's a lot of state workers that aren't showing up to work, like TSA agents at the airport that check security. They're not showing up to work because they're not getting paid, and that's a hazard. No,
yeah,
wouldn't you think? Security. On my way, I just drove back from Florida. You know, when you pass the Connecticut and New York toll to get into Connecticut, yo, there was nobody there.
I just drove and I was like,
and there's always people there,
right?
Always. And that, I know it has to do with that.
I thought it had to do with, because there's a lot of other tolls. I drive a lot.
No,
and they're doing all by mail only, or
well, yeah, because they take the photos, but right. not there, not
no,
they haven't,
that one was...
not yet, no, because that one's a little weird because Connecticut and I think it's just Connecticut benefits off of that, right? Because when you come into,
well, you're crossing from New Jersey into New York.
Yeah, but no, when you come into Connecticut,
oh, that the 175 one.
Yeah,
oh,
that one.
Yeah,
that
that's
one.
That. I don't know.
There's always people there. Usually, yeah, there wasn't people there this time, so I was like, oh, that's.
I drove through the George Washington Bridge toll, and there was no one there.
Yeah,
and that's a big one.
Yeah. I mean, I know they could be updating stuff and just trying not to use people, the cameras and stuff, but no, a lot of this wall stuff is just shutting down the government and things like that. And I don't know. At the end of the day, to me, it's stupid. The dude's a racist. You know, he says he's not, but
right under the toilet.
I mean, it's a tough situation because you have people that are for it, people that are against it.
Right.
You know, there's people coming in from other countries, and you know, the argument is, you know, they could be murderers and killers, but then they try to blame everybody that way, and that's wrong. And so it's got to be a very happy meeting, but it doesn't look like it's gonna happen.
It needs to start from someone who sees it that way.
Oh yeah, I mean, you can't just be a one-sided bigot and that's it. And then come on, he comes in like he's a big head honcho, and when he first comes in, oh, I'm gonna have Mexico pay for the wall, like you got it, like that, like it doesn't work like that, man. So now actually there's a guy that was funding a GoFundMe account. I don't know if you heard of that either. He got, it's like up to, the last time I checked, it was $15 million
on what,
a veteran to build the wall. A veteran, a United States veteran from the Army or whatever, you know, one of the Army, Navy, I don't know, one of those, he put a GoFundMe account together, and it got up to, it's probably way more now. It was at 15, a couple weeks ago, it was at $15 million.
And what's the cause of that?
The wall, I think, is like 1 billion or 11, it's either 1 billion or 11, I don't know if, I gotta look it up, but anyway, still, it's
so he's in favor of the wall.
Yeah, he wants the wall built, so all that money's gonna go towards the wall, supposedly. But yeah, but that tells you a lot right there, that people are actually, it's scary to know that people are actually funding. 15 million is a lot of fucking money, you know what I'm saying? And you know, for veterans that don't even get help from the government themselves when they come back home and suffer PTSD, and you see all these homeless veterans and all that, for you to go all out instead of trying to help people and just put up a wall, it's like, you know, I read a thing online one day that we should be making a longer dinner table than a bigger wall.
That's dope.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
that's a very humanitarian thing to say, and that stuck with me a lot. So, but yeah, man. So that's here, no there, man. I just, you know, I like to talk my little shit and
You're opening my expanding.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
My
good
curiosity,
man. That's what we're here for, man. That's what we're here for. But enough of that, man. Enough of that. Let's get into Mr. Alien Sweet Lou, man. let me let the people know our story. Well, you're a personal friend of mine, a good friend of mine that we actually, you know, we've known each other for a few years now. Mm-hmm. We kind of met through I don't even remember.
We met at the park.
That's
we
right.
We officially met at that park.
Oh shit.
Yes.
That's right. I was doing a photo shoot for a Self Mathematics clothing brand. And we went to that park to just take some shots, and you were there.
I was practicing with my crew at the time.
You were there with your crew, dancing and stuff, and we had approached you guys to see if you were interested, and, you know, being cool and humble guy that you are, and your crew, you were like, yeah, you guys put the clothes on, we took shots. Wow, that's right, that's right. That's how we first officially met. And then come to find out, I knew your sister already through friends, like Jay Hydro, Jay Peso, and Marlon, and so it was like, okay, so, you know, she's a sweetheart, so I was like, Lou, gotta be cool, and then, yeah, we just started linking from there. Found out you had the studio. You've helped me with the Backyard Mecca mixtape, which
Backyard
actually,
Mecca. Yeah,
which birthed the name of this show, Backyard Mecca, and the other mixtape. So, yeah, Lou is also a singer, right?
I do a thing.
We're gonna get into that. What I really know you from is from the day I met you. You were breaking. Mm-hmm. You were b-boying. So I want to get into that as well. Actually, that's where we're going to start, man, because that's how I met you. So we're going to follow the chrono. So, all right, B-Boy, what's your B-Boy name, man?
My B-Boy name, breaking name, is Sweet Lou. Okay. Actually, this past December was 18 years.
Wow.
18.
Congratulations,
thank
bro.
You. I was a freshman in high school. Time flies, dude.
That's dope, man.
Time flies.
You've been doing it for a while, and since I've known you, you've done it for a while, and you've done it big, and you've done it consistently and consecutively, and I've always admired that. So let's talk a little bit about that, man. You brought up I was gonna bring up your crew, but before your crew, what got you into b-boying, man, and how old were you?
I was 14 turning 15 or 15 turning 16, one or the other.
Okay.
Freshman year in high school. Before then, I was always like a monkey. I was always on my hands.
Mm-hmm.
Always upside down, walking around the whole court side of school on my hands.
Yeah.
And my brother and sister, they were dancers, and my mom too. So, but, you know, it's funny, they always say, like, we thought you'd be the last to dance because you were stiff, never interested in it at all. You know, like, I can't dance salsa to save my life. And they're like pros. But, you know, I've always been into monkey stuff, and my freshman year of high school, I was, you know, there was an announcement that was for wrestling tryouts.
Mm.
So I went to wrestling, and the second day, the only reason why I remember the day is because it was the second day of wrestling, and I was like super sore. On my way down, I saw a guy doing windmills. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know. I knew there was like house dancing.
Yeah.
My brother would do top rock, but, you know, he wasn't doing windmills or spinnings or any type of spin moves. And I saw that, and I was like, that is the coolest monkeyism I've ever seen. And ever since then, I was just like, that is the coolest, like, monkey stuff. I thought it was like, this dude is spinning upside down and going in circles. That's some fun stuff to do with
his, on his,
like,
head and shit. Yeah.
All over. And I was like, obsessed.
That's dope, man. And, all right, so you did that. When did you start? Well, obviously, you probably had more crews than, like, you have what you call it right
now? I'm co-founder of one crew called United Outcasts.
Yeah.
And I'm a part of a crew from New York, a legendary crew that was established in 1979 called Dynamic Rockers.
Okay.
And that's the two crews that I rep.
But my question was going to be, coming up, did you try starting like your own little crew?
I've always had a group of people, friends actually.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, we had a old crew called OE. Original Elements. And since day one, I've been obsessed and fully, like, dedicated to this dance.
Nice.
And, you know, the older I got, it expanded beyond me just dancing. And I started doing things for the culture or for my peoples around.
Yeah,
I've always had a group of friends. Yeah, definitely did.
And you brought up the culture. That's one of the reasons, like, when I met you, and I learned your story a little more and what you do, I did learn that you take it serious.
Mm-hmm.
And you're very good at it and athletic, and you've won numerous, you know, tournaments and contests and prizes. So that was dope, man, because, you know, I'm a big hip hop head, and that's part of the culture. It's one of the elements. So I've always loved b-boying myself. I've never did it. I just wasn't good at it. I tried when I was little on cardboard boxes at family parties.
I would pay to see you try a backspin right now.
I'd have to get it in shape for me to even attempt that right now. But, you know, I've I've noticed that, and you know, because there's people that say they do stuff and they just do it because it's a trend. You know what I mean? And that's cool too, but you know, because I'm of the culture, I take it serious. So when people tell me they're a b-boy, I'm like, all right, let's see if you're a real b-boy. And you proved it with what you do. And you didn't even have to. I just saw the shit that you do, you know what I mean? So that was amazing, man. But let's talk about that, man. What you said you're part of the Dynamic Rockers, and United Outcast. What came first?
United Outcast came first.
Let's talk about that.
United Outcast came March 23rd of 05.
Okay.
2005. Jeez. Actually, before I go to that, you brought up a point on you know, some people say it's real in culture, and before I even met culture, because I just don't want to lose this point. Before I met culture, like when I saw the guy doing windmills, I didn't know anything about culture. And I didn't know anything about the culture of breaking until 4 years later, because I was wrestling heavy duty. Now I won 3 state titles, and I was like heavily invested in that. You know, so breaking was, I can't say, I thought it was a hobby at that time, because I was doing it every day. But what it did to me that brought me in, and I can never leave it, is it brought Lou out of my shell, because I was super shy, and I was very successful in like sports. But breaking is an individual. It starts individual. To me, it did. It brought, you know, because I had sports. I have teammates. I could talk to my teammates. We can relate. But the breaking really got me out of my shell. And it brought me into a place that I never knew existed, which was, you know, me, who I am. And it was, I was able to kind of develop who I am and express that through growth in life. And the better I got in life, the better I got in my dance. So it became very personal. And it was like, there's no way I can run away from this. I can never leave it. You know, it's like, you know, I was a monkey ever since young, and then I can relate to this fun. But it really brought out like the inner part of who I am. And to this day, I do that with a lot of people. But to go to the crew, in 2000.
Wait, before you go on, that you said that. Now, all right, because I'm the same way with like photography, with art, because I draw. That like my thing to zone out when I was a kid was to draw. I would sit there and draw. I would draw whatever. So, but I found it was a therapy for me. Now, would you say when you were dancing, was it like a therapy for you, man?
Without knowing, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And and to this day, you know, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah,
it's huge, it's worked, man. It's worked wonders.
Yeah. Even this now, now that I'm into the whole, you know, I got into the podcasting culture, and at first I didn't know much about it, but like you said, you learn, you research, and you experience. This is a therapy to me.
Well, I think because you're doing it from an angle of passion.
Yeah.
So when you pursue a passion and it's something that you really enjoy and you love and you grow, it becomes therapeutic, you know?
Yeah. So cool, man. And, you know, and a lot of people that do, well, I can't say a lot because it's not everybody, but it's nice to hear when people actually do have it as a therapy, you know what I'm saying? Because it's, man, it energizes your soul, man. It replenishes stuff that you might not always feel, you know what I'm saying? So it's something great.
I can say without the passion of this dance, I probably would be kind of lost. Like it just kept me, it brought me closer to me and kept me real to what I love doing. And it's like, man, if I can pursue this, I'm successful. Like I always said it, like if I'm able to dance or continue doing something through dance, I'm successful. And everything after that's like added bonus. Obviously, you want stability financially and all
absolutely,
that stuff.
Absolutely,
but the root is you, you know. So it's like it's not a dollar. It's not a stability of anything. It's the root is you. It's how you feel, and then from there you continue going. So
awesome, man.
I think breaking kind of kept me close to who I am through that. Brought me out more.
Dope, man. Well, let's get into the United Outcast, man. You're about to go in.
So you know, I was breaking for a long time, and well, not a long time, because I started in 2000, and around 2000 and. Four-ish, it was like my senior year. There was a guy called Black Manny. It's funny, and he invited me to a practice in Danbury, and it was with this crew named Problems Crew. Shout outs to Problems Crew. I always give them credits because they were the first crew I saw.
Little Manny, you talking about Little Manny, dark skinned Manny?
Yeah.
From Bridgeport. Shout out to Manny, man.
For real. Problems Crew was the first crew I saw that were about it.
Okay.
You know, they were about it. They were real practice sessions. They were go, travel, battle, live it. You know, they lived that. I didn't know anything about that. So I went there and I just saw a collective group of cool people. I'm like, oh, this is fun. This is dope stuff.
Yeah.
And that's really where it began. I began to see more of what this culture of breaking is, because I didn't know what it was. To me, it was fun. It was an outlet. I had my friends doing it. But I saw people that, you know, they were doing it. you know, and Junie, problem child, he was like the leader of the crew. Mm-hmm. You know, he would, you know, then after some time, he would pick me up at times and bring me to the practices and gave me some VHSs at the time, so this was like 2004 and to 2005. I started dating this girl named Trinity, B-Girl Trinity.
Okay.
And, you know, she was in Problems Crew, and Problems Crew kind of bumped. We all had like a problem went down, and I wasn't quite a fan of how I saw things were going. Okay. You know, and to me it was, you know, breaking meant so much. It was like, man, I really want, what I got out of that situation and what I learned is that I wanted unity. I wanted a group of people that we can relate and do something that we love, which is breaking. If we can share that passion, we're going to grow. Like, it's going to organically grow, you know, and Trinity always wanted everyone to just be themselves, you know, so hence she came up with the word outcast. Mm. I wanted united. So we came up with United Outcast. Mm. And that was in 2000 and, man, was it 05 or was it 06? Pretty sure it was 06. I was at an event in Greenwich, actually, where my crew and I, we hosted an event. It was our anniversary at the venue where I was at a battle 13 or so years ago. And I was like, you know what? Today I decide I'm going to start a crew. So I went up to this dude named Combo, and I was like, yo, man, I'm starting a crew. Are you down? I don't know the name yet. Nothing yet. I want to talk to everyone else. He's like, yeah. So that just started the date. I didn't know the name would be United Outcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that started the date. And I brought up to Trinity, and she's like, you know, I have to, you know, close things off with Problem Crew first and all that stuff. But that's kind of like the very beginning stages of that. It was
okay.
That's kind of like how I got to that area and time and started that notion of United Outcast.
Nice, man. Well, shout out to Junie, which is Pat. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. Which is a small world, because I'm originally from Norwalk, and he's from Norwalk too. So I've known him for a long time. So shout out to Pat, shout out to Trinity as well, man. All right, so we're going to get into a little more of the United Outcast, but I kind of want to get into your community efforts with this stuff, because that's one of the main reasons I like getting people up here too, is to share what they do within the community. And you're doing something amazing with the kids, man. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that, man.
So I've been teaching since after like a year into me breaking. Mm. I had a friend, a really good friend of mine named Mike Toth from Fairfield. He was teaching at the YMCA. And he's like, yo, Luke, come with me to my class. I'm like, I bet. You know, he picked me up. I'll go over there. And literally like maybe a month or two in, he's like, Luke, I can't work here anymore. It's yours. And I'm like, what? I'm like 15. I got to get my works permit to teach. I'm like, what am I going to teach these kids? He's like, you know, you're cool. You got it. Ever since then, I've seriously, still to this day, I teach. Like, it's been like 16 years of teaching. But, you know, I've been teaching in Fairfield and it opened up after that. But it's been since back then. And, you know what? I've been realizing this recently, like on a personal note, I've always struggled with communicating. And this past year has been the first year I've taken off from dance. Like, I did not dance at all. I was hurt too, but it was more on the mental note. Like, my mind was, it needed like to be rewired in a sense.
Gotcha.
And what I've realized, because you're asking like what I do, it's, I didn't notice what I was doing for a long time. I was kind of on autopilot doing great things for these kids. Mm-hmm. Man, I feel like I'm going off a little bit off subject, but I the community to me is not, it's, I want, so what I was getting at is like, I want to do more for my home community. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it for anyone who's interested in the dance and to develop inner growth throughout it, you know, and one of my goals is really to offer and deliver that to my home crowd.
Okay.
In a way where it's not difficult for them to get it offered to them, you know?
Yeah, that's dope, man.
Yeah, and it's something that, you know, I'm working on having my own facility where I can do whatever I want with it, bring whoever I want, however I want to run it. But, you know, yeah, teaching 16 years and some of the kids that I taught are either out of college or in college. Some of these kids are older, and now I'm starting to see the effects of what I've done for these kids' lives. Because you know, at first I was young and I would teach these kids moves, some of the kids will relate and have the same story I had, where it's like they didn't believe in themselves or they had a hard time
yeah,
you know, breaking out of that shell and breaking mm-hmm. does that for people, especially under the right guidance, you know, and there's a lot of people doing that. And I'm sure even outside of breaking, if you just have something that a kid or someone from youth, not even a kid, you know, someone younger than you or someone who just needs the right person around can relate to something that you do that they want to do or love, you can really change their lives.
Yeah.
And through my teachings, you know, it definitely switched over from let me teach you these moves to let me help you develop like your state of being to a better person through the dance. So the dance, yeah. I take that now as the dance is what connects me to these kids. But there's, I offer a lot more than that. You know,
absolutely. Like
these kids absolutely. Leave confident.
And that's great, man.
You know, so that's what I'm doing for the bigger community. But again, like my goal is I really want to offer that to like my, where I came from, where I'm still from, you know, because I haven't. Yeah, yeah. And it like I've had senses of guilt at time. And I'm like, man, I haven't done that home.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But it's like, let me be easy. Cause
yeah. That's what, you know what though? Don't be too hard on yourself, man, because sometimes you have to leave home
right.
in order to do what you want right, to do at right, home. Right. You know, a lot of times, even like to get support at home, you have to make your buzz outside mm-hmm. and come back. It's weird like that, man.
Right.
Even with the clothing and stuff, like I had to, people had to start seeing people supporting me outside of where I'm from
right.
to support me at home. So don't be tough on
I'm,
yourself.
I'm grateful
man.
For the journey.
It's weird, but that's just how
I
it works.
I get it, you know, but it's like I'm grateful for the journey because me expanding out the way I did, I'm bringing back something that I wouldn't have if I didn't expand out. So I'm bringing back something that has a lot more value.
Yeah.
As opposed to staying, you know, and who knows where the journey would have taken me, but where I the way I did expand and go outwards, I'm bringing a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of positive and knowledge and experience back to where, you know, the goal is to bring it back, to bring it home. So,
all right. Well, so where do you do your thing with the kids right now? So just so our people could hear, we might have some listeners that our kids or parents that might want put their kids in something like this, man, and connect with you, man.
Right
so.
Now, I'm almost full-timing teaching in New Canaan. That's near Norwalk.
Okay.
And, you know, I was teaching in Bethel and Fairfield. I do privates. I'm all over the place. I teach in New York at times, too. And yeah, I mean, New Canaan is where I'm at, like 4 days a week.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, just in case, man, because at the end, we're going to have you plug in your social medias and
cool.
stuff. So if people want to contact you, man, now they know that you're, you know, that's pretty local still,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Oh,
still,
yes. Not too far
away. It's local. So that's great, man. All right. So, you know, that was very important. I wanted you to share that, man, because that that's another thing that I look up to, you know what I mean? And I think it's very important because you're being an example, not only to the kids, but I feel to adults who I feel we all need to give back, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great example just for the whole community, man. All right, so back to United Outcasts, man. Like I said, I wanted to come back to it. So what's up with the crew? You guys still around?
Yeah, we're definitely around.
Okay.
We're actually preparing right now. I took that year, maybe even a little bit more than a year off, and I've never done it. I've never, ever, in the 18 years of dancing, I've never mm-hmm. taken time off. Even you know, I had surgery. I tore my Achilles. And even with that, I will crutch my way to practice to go watch the guys practice and help out and give tips and stuff. But I took the year off, and the crew, you know, we're together. And from my angle, it's like I feel like I'm doing a comeback with them. You know, they were still there.
Yeah.
And we're preparing right now for a battle. My birthday is coming up February 2nd.
Mm.
And there's an event called Kings of New York happening out there. And it's an invite-only event. Mm. And we got invited as one of the crews. So, you know, it's kind of like a really cool boost for us as a unit.
Okay. I think do they do that yearly or no?
It's been a while. It's been a couple years. I would say like maybe like like 5 plus years.
It sounds familiar to me, man. I went out there one time to a B-boy event, and I think it was called that maybe, or maybe similar.
I think the last one was 2010.
Yeah, I think that's the one I went to. Is Crazy Legs usually there? Cuz the one I went to, I went with Ink. This is back in the day, and we went
know.
To an event. I mean, not to throw shit off, but it just sounds so
well,
familiar.
It's part, I mean, it,
yeah. So, well, anyway, whatever. But that's dope, man, that you guys are still there and stuff. And I actually want to get into your battles that you host.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Talk about that a little bit. You know,
so
what I mean?
I've been a part of two events in Connecticut. I've been, you know, I've been a part of throwing jams since my 21st, and I'm about to go into my 33rd, so that's about to be 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, United Outcasts, we host a anniversary that's usually kind of annual. We do it every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I created a concept called Crazy Eights, and I'm the creator of that. And I did it in class while I was teaching kids, and I had kids of different levels. Some were beginners, some were advanced, and I wanted to create a fun concept for the beginners not to get discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran it with the kids. I'm like, this would be dope with pros. So, you know, I started to invite, you know, pro breakers from all around the world to this jam. So it's you know, my two jams is United Outcast Anniversary and Crazy Eights. Sweet Lou's Crazy Eights is,
yeah,
it's the name of the two events.
And I've been, I think I've been to both.
You have.
And they've been great events, man. The event gets filled up, packed. There's a lot of talent in there.
We definitely do get worldwide.
Yeah,
people flying from countries
all over, and that was dope to me to see. You know, people from all over and meet people from all over, man. So it's nice. That, again, that's more community work. Whether you look at it like that or not, man, it's, you're bringing the world community here to home. Now you were being tough on yourself just now about not doing stuff at home, but you know, you're still in a way. You know, you may not be doing it the way where you want to take that lane,
right,
but you're still doing it.
I'm learning. Which is awesome. I'm learning to credit myself and to be kind and reflect. I'm like, on the things that I have done.
You're terrible at that, bro.
You'll be proud. I've gotten so much better.
Good. Nice shirt, by the way. Looks good on you.
Thank you. You know, it's brand new.
Yeah, it's pretty fresh. Nice. What is that, by the way? I can't see. Oh, okay. What does it say? I can't read it. No, you have to say it, not me.
Self-mathematics,
I can't boast myself. You have
to
do it.
What do you mean? Self-mathematics, man. This gear is dope. I have all of your tags.
You do, bro.
I do. All of your little board of authentic. What do you call that?
The certificates of authenticity.
That's the one. You know, I don't want to sound tongue twisted, but I have them. And
nah, I appreciate you, man. You've been supporting me from day one with that too. So that's another thing.
We've been a team.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. But yeah, man, I'm glad to hear that you are coming out of that shell as far as giving yourself more credit.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've seen it, because I've been around you a little bit when we worked together. You know, all those hours doing mixtapes and stuff, and so it's great to see that you're crediting yourself, because you deserve it, bro.
Thank you.
You deserve it. And like I said, man, you might have a lane that you want to take to bring stuff to your community, but you're bringing the world. You know, I don't know if you ever thought about it like that, but you're bringing the world here, because that you do those in Bridgeport mostly. Mm-hmm. You know, I know you go sometimes other places, but usually in Bridgeport.
Yeah,
so that's
big majority of them.
That's that's dope, man. That's dope. And you know, you have big names involved at times too. And you even, again, bringing up the clothing, you let me vend there a few mm-hmm. times too. So that's a lot of community organizing happening with something that you love. So that's dope, man, to do something you love and mm-hmm. to be able to give back at the same time without sometimes even knowing it.
This is true.
Bro, yeah. It's a blessing. It's a gift, man. So
thanks for the
honor. You should definitely be proud of yourself. I'm proud of you. It's an honor to know you. You know what I'm saying? So that's why you're up here, bro, because people need to hear your story. Stories like this and more of it. So let's move on a little bit. Well, you know what? I kind of wanted to be nosy, man.
All right.
I know you fiddle with, now I could be wrong. I don't know if it's either or both, but I know you work with Red Bull a little bit. I don't even know if you could talk about that, but
I can't.
I don't want to get deep into it, but that's big, bro. I mean, you Red Bull Monster. Mm-hmm. I mean, and even the other big, Silver Gorilla, is it? And what's it called? I forget.
Silverback.
I'm sorry. I just know the logo, man.
So yeah, I'll make that one brief.
Those are big names.
I would say that's a big. You know, I'm very proud of my little position. And
that's
that
a nice accomplishment.
It is. You know,
talk about it, man. Please.
So there is an organization called UDEF.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nonprofit, and they have a tour, the Pro Breaking Tour. And it's sponsored by Silverback, and you know they had sponsors. One of the sponsors, one of the main, it was powered by Monster Energy Drink. And my event Crazy Eights has been on the tour since the first year. I believe this is going on the either fifth or sixth year. And Monster Energy Drink was a sponsor. Uber, McKee was a sponsor. They had a few very cool sponsors.
Yeah, yeah.
So my event was sponsored by like a very respected energy drink, Monster energy drink. And some of my close friends are actually Monster athletes. You know, they get endorsed by them, which it's great. So my event, you know, it's a pretty cool blessing to have type of support from the tour and those sponsors, and you know, they'll bring in some of the dancers will be brought in by their support, and you know, they're doing this tour, and it's helping the entire community of breaking throughout the country big time. Yes. You know, it's helped me out a lot how to be more of a professional event promoter as opposed to just putting together a little dance event. It's you know, and I ended up last year I was working the tour. I was their consultant. I traveled all over the country. I went to like 16 main events.
I remember.
And I was behind the scenes, man, which worked out great, you know.
Yeah.
Because I was like pretty injured, but yeah.
I don't know if you remember, but I was trying to like, you know, kind of tag along here and there as your personal photographer. Never happened, but you know.
No.
But yeah, let's talk about, we didn't really get into the Red Bull, but even with Red Bull has flown you out to judge contests here and there.
Well,
right?
I got invited. They had some sites. So Red Bull, there's an event called Red Bull BC1, and that's like the Super Bowl for the 101 competitive nature of breaking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the biggest of the biggest, and they would have like national events, and I got invited a couple times to do it, and that's, you know, they've brought me out to Washington, Boston, Philadelphia. I think it was those three. I've done gigs for them in the city, you know, in breaking.
Listen, man, that's amazing, man. Listen, from a little kid thinking it's cool to windmill, spin on his back and head, and just doing it for fun to get flown out worldwide, countrywide, man. Mm-hmm. That's something not to laugh at, man. That's something to be proud about, and that's it's a good inspiration for our kids and community. Again, that's why you're here, bro. Your story is amazing, man. So now what I want to do is, you know, we're going to move away from the dancing. I know the dancing is huge.
It is so much to talk on.
Yeah,
that.
I know. And anything I miss, please bring me back in. We'll talk about it. If you want to do that now, we could do that now. Or what I wanted to do is, I wanted to kind of get into the music a little bit.
Okay.
So since I've known you, you've been doing music. When we first started doing the mixtapes and you helping me edit the mixtapes, you were kind of first coming out a little bit, if I remember. Mm-hmm. You weren't really pushing it like that. Now I know you're doing a little bit more now, you know what I mean? Let's talk about that. How long have you been into the singing, the music? What got you started?
Cool.
Yeah, please share.
Since young, very, very little, I remember, I must have been like 3 or 4. I was at in the living room of my house, and I was like, literally my head was onto a speaker. And I thought that person that was singing was doing everything. I thought he was the drummer. I thought he was doing.
Ah, okay.
They recorded himself, wrote it. I mean, I'm a little kid, so I thought, man, this one guy is amazing. He's doing a lot of stuff. But, you know, so I've always had this interesting interest in music. I just didn't know the creative side of it. So in high school, like a year and a half or 2 years after I started breaking, my brother was at a friend's house, and he calls me over. He's like, yo, you gotta come here. This dude has a really cool car system in his car. I'm like, I bet, I'm on my way. So I go over there, and he introduced me to this guy named Lexi. He's a big part of my music side. So I meet Lexi, and you know, we show each other the cars, and he's playing his music, and he tells me, yo, this is me on and I'm like, how does that work? What do you mean that's you? He's like, yeah, I got on this program called Fruity Loops. I'm like, show me this thing. And I'm in high school, no responsibilities, all the time in the world. So he shows me this program, and I get obsessed with that. So literally my days, every day, consists of school, even though I was late all the time, school, wrestling, dancing through wrestling practices, and then going home till like 2, 3 in the morning on this program, hooked on it. Nonstop, year after year. Yeah. So the music started then, and I at first wanted to just produce. I just loved putting the music together. But I had a nice voice, and you know, like the dancing, and it like when you met me, I was trying to tie it all together.
Yeah.
I was trying to be the guy that had like a commercial look, the commercial sound, produces. I wanted to be that guy that I thought I heard in the speaker.
Yeah.
Who exactly. does it all? You know, I was calling myself Team of One.
Yeah.
So I was trying to do that, you know, and so that's kind of how I that's like the beginning of how I kind of got introduced to creating the music, was when I got introduced into that producing program.
Mm-hmm. That's dope, man. So, all right. So now, as far as your music, first of all, what is your music name or whatever, the alias, or is it?
They call me. So it's I go by Alien, and they say a friend of mine, he, you know, because I didn't want my music name to be the same as my breaking name.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted to have something different. He's like, since you're into UFOs, why don't you say Alien with a Spanish accent, Alien? So people call me Alien, you know, and then I'm like, cool. But people, you know, like, you tell that to, like, yeah, like my best friend Wes, he cannot say Alien. He goes, he says it weird. So I'm like, just call me Alien, man. So people call me Lou Alien or Louis Alien or Luis Alien. You know?
Okay.
Any of those.
They fit?
They fit. You know, I just go by Alien.
Got you.
That's my thing.
All right, so what type of music is it that you do?
I personally did, because, you know, we haven't spoken in a while. I am not performing it anymore.
Okay.
I chose to take a back set. It might not be permanent, but I had way too many things on my plate, and I was running dry on energy to do things, to pursue things in life, you know. So I took a step back from dance and music, and, you know, it had a big impact in my relationship too. And I needed to take a step back and really figure out the things that I wanted to pursue and not felt that I needed to pursue. You know, the difference between want and need are huge, you know? And I was like, I don't want to pursue being the singer behind this. It's a lot. So like right now I did a lot of reggaeton. That was like my thing, you know, but I produced like pop and R&B and hip hop all those years, just for the utmost love of producing it, you know? And I never put it out. I didn't put, like, you know, when you I met you, I started to put songs out.
Yeah, I remember.
I was in my own way, and I see now why I was doing. You know, you can't question purpose and how things work. And now I'm doing that. But, you know, so right now I decided to take to be the behind the scenes man and produce for artists and write for them and bring them into the studio and help them out and develop their sound. But I'm not personally
okay
doing the singing stuff
anymore. Well, look, there you go again. Now, you might have not looked at it this way either. You're providing more for your community by having a studio and having people come in and do music.
Right.
That's another way you're providing for your community, bro.
True.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's another big up right there. So I know I've seen you work with certain artists in the studio. Actually, you have, I don't know if they're one of your students, but I know you have a young boy that I've seen. Griff, yes. There you go. I've seen you work with him. Is he one of your students as far as dance, or is he just?
No, not dance at all. Like,
okay.
I met him because a friend of mine was like, hey, I have a client whose son wants to get into Pro Tools.
Okay.
And it's, you know, and I teach. I'm like, I'm Pro Tools certified. Cool, I'll go by. And it ended up being the wrong program. The mom got the things confused. And I was like, I can still teach the kid. He wants to produce. He wants to learn a program. So while I'm teaching him, at first he was like my student. You know, now he's like a little brother. Like, really, he's like,
yeah,
he's like fam.
I see you guys all the time.
Right. So at first the idea was for me to teach him how to do the program. And like, I got attached to the kid. Like, man, like, I can help this kid. Same thing as I do with anyone. I spend a lot of time. I want to just give you as much as I can beyond whatever it is that you're like asking me to do for you. And he ends up being a super talented like rapper, really smart, and honestly has more knowledge than I do when it comes to like the hip hop history. You probably have a great conversation with this kid on the culture of hip hop. Like, this kid, he surprises me a lot. That's of knowledge. Dope, yeah, it's really dope. And, you know, like I started to see him write, because he would then, you know, after some time, he was young, he was 15 when we met. After some time, the parents gained some trust and they let him come to the studio, because I was going to the house, to their house to teach him. He came to the studio, and then I started to really see that this kid has something special as an artist.
Okay.
You know, I met him as he wanted to learn a program.
Yeah.
You know, and ever since then, we've been growing on that tip of him being a rapper. You know, so I can't say he's my student anymore. Mm-hmm. He's like.
But so would you say you helped him come out of his shell a little
for
bit?
For sure. Oh, all right. For sure. And, you know, I can firmly say I'm like an older brother. Like, he'll call me for things that are going on that has nothing to do with music, period.
Yeah, you know.
And I'm really, we're there. And I can confide in him too. So, but for sure, he's come out of his shell.
That's dope.
And you know, it hits the artistic side of it too, but he's definitely come out of a shell.
But like, how dope is that, Lou, that when you learn your dance and b-boy and you got into your stuff and you came out of your shell by yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
How dope is that, that you help somebody else come out of their shell a little bit and get into their own stuff, man?
It's beautiful, man. It's definitely a calling.
That's amazing.
It's a purpose. And yeah. You know, what I've been doing, I can't wait to tell you what I've been doing lately and recently. I'm really noticing and realizing that it's that thing is huge.
Yeah.
And it's, to me, it's, I don't use the word honor often, but to me, it's an honor to be able to be that person for people.
Yeah. No, amazing. It's amazing stuff, bro. And, yeah, man, bro, you do so much for the community, you know, and I hope you see it more now after this show
a little bit.
Yeah. And that's great, man. Well, let's talk about some of that stuff that you're doing now. Can we get into some of that stuff?
Of course. So
let's get into that, man.
So my entire life, I've always been very talented in things, and it kept me distracted from me, I would say, like from my personal home issues and traumas that, you know, come from like a struggling, you know, home environment. It's not really a big struggle, but everyone has their struggles. No matter how stable or unstable your home is, there's issues there. Everyone goes through them, and that's where you grow from. But I found a way to ignore all that, and I would bottle up all of my emotions ever since I was little. Mm. Ever since. I would never go to mom and tell her, hey, I'm sad because of this. And I don't remember ever doing it. You know, so a lot of my problems stemmed from home. I can't say problems, traumas and struggles. And, you know, about 3 years ago, things started to decline around me. My dance, my body started to fall apart. And I'm thinking it's age, or I'm thinking maybe I'm burnt out. You know, I'm finding excuses. I'm finding other things to distract myself. I wouldn't, you know, have a conversation with someone that hurt my feelings. I wouldn't be like, yo, man, that kind of hurt my feelings. Let's squash this so I can move forward. I'll find a way to either make it better for them or find another thing to distract myself from that pain and continue moving forward. So I came to a point, you know, where I couldn't dance anymore. I literally, it was like I had no energy to dance. And I thought also the music, why I stopped doing it, was because of that too. But it kind of wasn't. It was deeper. It was just, I'm literally drained. You can't run away from yourself for too long, especially when you're destined for something great. Mm-hmm. You're gonna have to face it. So about a year and some change ago, everything was apart. I re-tore my groin. I couldn't dance at all. My music was, I had no passion towards it. I was only doing music if it was like for hire or for work. So literally, I had no escape anymore. I couldn't run anywhere else. I had to like figure this out, you know. So I seeked help. Actually, I'm being, like I said in the video that you saw on my Instagram, I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. I started to see a therapist, and actually, my girlfriend at the time, Ashley, she was on me about it. Like, you needed to start doing things different. And, you know, she highly recommended that I see a therapist. And at first I'm like, man, who from the hood sees a therapist? You know, but I was like, you know, I can't have the mentality. So I started seeing a therapist, and that helped a lot. You know, it got me to understand what was holding me back from my younger days. You know, so I started meditating. I've been meditating for like 190 something days in a row. I have this little app. I started a transformation of like really getting to know myself. And really starting to work on myself, like and having mindful moments and communicating and doing all of the things that I didn't do that I wish I did when I was younger. And it's turned a lot around, you know, like my body healed. It recovered. I bumped into a perfect, like a really dope professional, like a physical therapist. But like now that I'm like spending more time digging deep, I feel that the biggest reason as to why I recovered, and I'm seeing you now, I haven't seen you in a grip. You know, I really pushed myself away from everybody.
Yeah, it's been a minute, man.
The reason why my body recovered is because I started to fix my brain. Like, I really started to change my outlook. You know, like, and I told you, I didn't give myself credit. Now I am like, man, I've done all these beautiful events, and I was so concerned on how people looked at me, and now it's like, I do things with such good intentions. I don't care. If someone looks at me the wrong way, that's their problem.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but it used to be my problem. Now it's like that's not what I thought it was. So that's kind of what I've been doing a lot. I've been working on being mindful and being kind and just realigning with now what I feel I know is my purpose and loving who I am. Like, I used to overlook that person in the mirror. Through all the beautiful things that I've done, you know, I've always wanted this approval from home.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a thing that I can go about parenting from home, that can affect, you know, that was a war that I had to kind of get out of, and I'm thankful enough to have support around me to where I was able to get the time to do so. But that's what I've been doing lately. You know, I've been doing a lot of self-care, and I feel like from a lot of areas that are in struggles, they look at that like it's like a joke or they overlook that. And it's like, I come from a hood, you know, and it's like, and I, that hood mentality, if you do self-care, it's gonna take you to greater places.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I noticed the transition. Even though we weren't hanging out as much, I noticed your posts on like social media. They were very inspirational, or you were opening up a little more and sharing bits and pieces of yourself and story and inspiring. So I did notice that transition. I'm like, okay, look at Lou. Like, you know, because you were, again, like you said, you were very more to yourself.
Right.
And you didn't post a lot, and I know that's your goal this year a little bit.
I mean, I got in my that posting thing. It even had to do with like my dance stuff. I've traveled the world, literally. I've taught in Korea. I've battled in Korea. I've been all over Latin America. I've been to Europe. I've been everywhere. Mm-hmm. And with my music, with the dance, it's easier because there's no words needed. It's just you put me on a stage and I just go off.
Yeah.
But with the music, it's all about that vocal. You know, you have to talk and communicate. And I was so in that bubble that I think that held me back. I didn't put a lot of music out because then I had to go do interviews, and it had to do a lot with talking with people. And it wasn't my thing.
Yeah. And it's important. Like you said, man, the hood mentality where we're from, self-care is not really an option or even talked about,
right?
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because we're so in the hood taught to, you got to be strong, you know, get up, walk it off, you know what I mean? So we're not taught to pay attention and kind of cure things or just like I said, even talk about it. So That's important that you're bringing that up, and I hope our interweblings are listening right now about it, and I'm glad you brought it up because I wasn't gonna go there because I didn't have a reason to talk about that, but being that you brought it up, it's a great topic. Man.
I want to bring awareness on that.
Yeah,
because I feel everyone needs it, and everyone, even if you're doing good, it doesn't hurt to feel better or to understand more about yourself.
And there's nothing wrong with that, and that's what we're taught, that if you complain about something, stop being a pussy, stop being a punk,
right,
and that's where
that's terrible.
Yeah, and that's what shoots, especially men, you know, in the hood, you gotta be, you know, fucking cock diesel and tough, and that's not good, bro.
That's not
good for growth, for self. That's not good at all for self-growth, self-knowledge, and then, you know, obviously that trickles down into family, community, relationships.
It's total opposite. You want to,
man.
I mean, but it's also, you know, it's hard to find the right people to be able to be you and vulnerable with.
Yeah, but like you said, man, I did the same thing, man. You're at the point where you don't care no more what people think. That's their problem. That's what I did. Come on, man. My whole message with self-mathematics, know your self-knowledge, that's not the end thing. Everybody wants to talk about hookahs and clubbing and shit, was talking about fucking the government and fucking, you know, helping our people out, and I was looked at as a weirdo, and at first it's like, oh shit, like damn, you know, and I was more to myself, but then I was like, you know what, I'm not doing nothing wrong, if anything, I'm doing something good. So that's dope when you said that. It resonated a lot with me because that's what I went through. So that, you know, man, yo, man,
it's a new wave. Kudos, man. It's a new wave right now. It's a new what's that, revolution? It's that,
yeah,
it's mindfulness, you know. I believe it's the next big, like, wave that our world is gonna go through.
Yeah,
like people are waking up, you know, and people are like, absolutely, oh, you're a yogi? Like, no. I mean, I respect all forms of places that makes you dig deep. It you live with yourself every day, but we're all so distant from ourselves every day, you know. Like, and it's like that disconnect really keeps people away from who they are, what they can be. You know, so I'm just, lately that's what I've been digging deep, you know, and I was losing things left and right. I was losing all the things I loved left and right because I was lost.
Yeah.
I was lost. I was going to hang on to nothing if I was lost. Like, so, you know, it's been the biggest thing.
You know, you, it seems like you found the definition of true wealth. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that's not monetary or material things. It's doing what you love, helping others, providing for the community. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's amazing, man. And you gotta feel proud, bro, because
I'm extremely
proud. Not everybody finds that in this lifetime, bro. There's be people that'll go lost their whole life without finding their purpose or without thinking it's important to help others, no matter what we look like, creed, language, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like we were talking about earlier. It's not about building that wall. It's about extending the kitchen table. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so that's amazing what you're doing, bro. Man, listen, it's about an hour in. I think we're I know we could keep going, man. We could keep going. Now, I'm gonna have you back. You're definitely gonna come back. I would love for you to bring one of your students.
Okay.
So we could get them to talk about stuff too. But yeah, man. I don't know. What were you gonna say? I didn't want to interrupt.
I would love to have it where we can like focus on a topic at a time.
We could do that too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We could do that because, like I told you, like my show is more like organic. We just talk, but we could do that. We could do that for the next show. We could do that for part two. And you can bring your guests and stuff. Cool. And I think that'll be dope,
my
man.
Pleasure, man.
All right. So real quick, why don't you let the interweblings know your social media outlets where people can reach you for either. I know you have a couple. There's one for dance. Mm-hmm. There's one for the.
Well, like right now, the main one that I'm working on is B-Boy Sweet Lou. B-B-O-Y Sweet Lou. L-U at the end. Mm-hmm. And that's on my Instagram. I don't really. I took that step back. Mm-hmm. Social media was taking a lot of my time and energy, so I'm not.
Yeah,
that's really the only platform I'm really working on.
Okay.
My Facebook, you can probably find me through Sweet Lou as well.
Okay.
But yeah, that's I'm on that. You know, I started a little page for my. I'm gonna open a music studio, and I'm actually working on plans for a school, and that's something I'll talk to you in private about.
Yeah, definitely.
But you know, I have all that. You know, whenever we talk again, and a lot of that stuff happens. I will love to update you and your supporting fans and followers.
All right, cool. So lastly, man, before we head out, man, 2019.
Yes.
Where's Lou going?
Oof.
I know it's a heavy question, but where? All right, let me do this and give you some branches with that tree I just threw at you. Where's Lou going as far as, let's say, the b-boying,
mm-hmm.
and the battles?
Okay.
And the studio, and let's just throw one more in there, which is the outreaching with the kids and the local.
Gotcha. So battles, I competed. I've done one battle in the last like 2 years.
Okay.
So you know, I'm finally recovered, physically and mentally. So I'm you know, my first battle of the year will be on my birthday, which is pretty cool. And then the following weekend I'm going to be battling in Cancun. So you know, last year I was all over the place working events and helping them throw the events and distributing the monies and all that good stuff. This year I'm competing again. You know, I'm trying to get trying to get that world recognition again. You know, I've been missed, and that's for that. You know, I've had my home studio where you've been,
mm-hmm.
and I really want to branch out. I'm believing in myself again. I mean, I'm believing in myself to the point I'm like, I really need to branch out. I need to have my own facility.
Yeah.
Like, I need a professional setting.
Absolutely.
Right. You know, absolutely. I mean, even coming to this room, I'm inspired.
Yeah.
Because you're doing it. You said you wanted it, and you got it. That's inspiring,
thank you,
know?
Bro. Thank you.
So I want that, and a lot of the parents that I teach, they're like, Lou, the things that you do for our children, we want more parents to have this. You need your own school.
Yeah,
they're like, you do a lot more than just dance stuff, like, you know. And it's, I would hear them like, yeah, that's cool, you know, but I'm nervous to do that. Now it's like, it's a purpose, like, it's screaming out of me. Since I put so much self-care, it's like, I really want to be, you know. So that, I don't know if it'll be this year, but I'm gonna aim. I'm organizing.
You're gonna
it, you know,
do it.
And so you said battles.
Battles,
mm-hmm.
What was it? Battles, well, we won't go in order, but battles, Jesus, what was the other one? I'm trying to think. Battles, one was working with the kids,
right.
Also, which is the school, mm-hmm. right? So you kind of did those kind of together,
yep.
Also, the dance, you did that too already, mm-hmm.
Yeah. I could just say some of the little, pretty much.
Well, I mean, and what else besides that? Like, what else you want to share and you can share?
You know, the Crazy Eights event. You know, it's I'm really working on making that like a kind of like a national ranking event. And this year I'm gonna do it in November. And usually it happens around March or May. Okay. You know, the anniversary for the crew will be in May this year. And Crazy Ace will be in November.
Gotcha.
You know, and I have some projects in the works with the studio and the music. And I'm just, you know, this is the year where I'm not going to overwhelm myself. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to force anything. And I'm going to love from the inside out and not be scared to go for the things that I believe I really want to do.
Dope, man. And you deserve it, bro.
Thank you.
You deserve it all because you do a lot. And I'm glad, like, again, I'm glad you're seeing it. Because you've helped a lot. I mean, you know, you got the input from the parents. That's how you deserve a facility.
I feel big. Like I've been, like I told you, I was like, I've been on autopilot a lot.
Yeah, I know, man. I know. And we haven't talked a lot, man.
It's
but
been
you're somebody that inspires me. Someone I look up to. I respect, bro, because you're just a humble guy. You're a good-hearted dude, man. And you deserve all the shit that's coming to you, man, and more.
Thank you.
So, again, that's why I got you on the show, man. And I just want to thank you for coming up here, giving me your time. And you gave out your social media. So, I want my interweblians to check out Lou when you get the chance. Adam, he's an inspirational guy. He's doing a lot of big things. Don't forget to check us out on Backyard Mecca on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. You can hit me up on the email. You could talk shit. You could big us up. You could do whatever you want. I welcome it all. That's backyardmechashow@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out the all-new Gorilla Podcast Network on Facebook. Just search GPN. It's Gorilla Podcast Network on Instagram. And ladies and gentlemen, we're on our way out. But before I go, remember, if you could accumulate that thought in your mind, that means it is out there. And if it is out there, all you have to do is go get that shit. Peace.
This is a Gorilla Podcast Network production.